This is Indie Book Publishing. Indie Book Publishing is a show about new books and the authors who wrote them. It's an opportunity for prospective readers to hear directly from the writers, to hear what inspired them to write and publish, and to hear all the inside details about their books. And now, Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen.
Greetings for Steve Jorgensen and Indie Book Publishing. This is J. Douglas Barker. Today we visit with Patricia Brooks to discuss her personal journey in a Balboa Press release titled, God is in the Little Things, Messages from the Animals. Welcome, Patricia.
Good morning, Jay.
And how is your morning going?
Very well, thank you.
Interesting title. Among other things on the cover, there's a photo or a picture of an owl. What is the significance of that, Patricia?
The owl, the picture on the cover of the owl is actually symbolic of me. My book, one of the topics in my book is animal totems, and the owl is representative of me as being my life totem.
You didn't start out to be an author. You started out doing other things and then just came into this topic. How did that begin?
Well, Jay, actually for about a year I had been receiving messages, spiritual messages from different people asking me if I was an author, and when I told them no, telling me that they know I am supposed to write a book. And as you said, I was, you know, I had a prior career. I was a computer science high school teacher. So I never had any aspiration to be a writer. I never intended to write a book, but I kept listening to these messages, and I thought, well, you know, I'll just keep learning, keep doing what I'm doing, and when the time is right, if I'm to write a book, I will. And then just this past February, actually, I received two very direct communications, I believe from God. One told me chapter by chapter what to write, and the other one gave me my title. And so I just started writing.
Well, you're a non-traditional religious writer, I guess would be the way to describe this, because you feel this book was divinely inspired, yet it is non-traditional in its approach. Isn't that an accurate observation?
I think non-traditional is probably a good way to put it. I like to think of it more as a spiritual book. My book is actually my true story, coming from sadness and loss through finding joy again, all the through understanding my spiritual self. So the book is about hope, it's about healing, and it's really about looking at ourselves and our lives through the eyes of oneness, through the eyes of connection. The animals acting as animal totems being a very big part of that.
And what type of animals did you have interaction with that inspired you to write this?
Well, I had a number of very unique visits. It's important to note that the animals that you see, they should be doing something either very unique, out of character, or repetitive to draw your attention. It's not just a random animal that you would happen to see doing their normal behaviors. So I had a number of visits, very unique visits, from different animals. And I don't want to tell you all the animals to give the book away, but I can tell you that there, I had a few bats were very persistent with me, a beautiful deer, a very large toad, you know, to name a couple.
And can you maybe enlighten us on one specific incident that happened that definitely stands out in your mind and would be of interest to the readers?
Absolutely. Well, since the bats were most persistent, I'll tell you a little bit about the bat. And just to clarify a little, because people may not know exactly what animal totems are, I'd like to just say that animal totems are basically our animal friends. And if people think even Native American, they would probably have a better frame of reference. And the belief system with animal totems is that the behaviors and characteristics of the animals are studied because they're symbolic of their message. So the belief is that the animals energetically communicate with us, whether through their own spirit or through God communicating through the animals. And for centuries, man has looked to animals and the symbolism for guidance, strength, and inspiration. So that's the explanation of animal totems. And the bat, very specifically, again, was persistent in his message. One of the times I will tell you, I was sleeping at night, and I awoke in my bedroom to a bat literally fluttering directly above my face. I could feel the wings, the wind from the wings, and the light feather from the wings above my face. And it was not the only time a bat visited me. And a bat, really interesting, I was going through a time in my life that, you know, my marriage was kind of, you know, changing, you know, wasn't really working for me very much anymore. And the message of a bat is one of rebirth. It's for quite a few reasons, but bats are basically reborn from the caves each night. And they're also a very big propagator of plants. So a simple message from the bat signifies promise after change or a rebirth. And that was a perfect message for me at that point in my life.
And who do you think this book is going to appeal to? It's and why?
Well, I think my book will appeal to anyone who is maybe starting down, you know, their spiritual path, looking for a greater spiritual understanding. But my book is also resonating very well with truly anyone who's ever had any struggle, any disappointments, any type of self-doubt or self-love issues, anyone who's ever had a relationship problem, because it's my honest, true story from the breakdown of my marriage, the aftermath, all of the feelings that I had, and as I refer to my spiritual recovery, and I'm actually getting quite a lot of feedback from people saying, you were writing from my heart. You were telling my story. I could see myself in your words. You know, I know that I'm worth it too now. You know, some really amazing feedback that's very meaningful to me. So, almost everybody, I would say, would appreciate the book.
You've begun your process by journaling your interaction. Is that how it began?
Well, I started journaling because when people were telling me you're to write a book, I had no way to how that was supposed to start. And so they said, well, you know, you should start keeping a journal. You know, keep a journal by your bed, and as different thoughts come to you, you know, because I guess that's a really great way to start a writing process, is to journal your thoughts. And so that helped, but basically when I received the communications back in February, I basically wrote the majority of my book in 4 days. I mean, I just sat in bed. It was winter break. I sat in bed and I just couldn't stop typing. It just kept like pouring out of me. So the journals is definitely how I started kind of thinking about things, but once the writing process started, I couldn't stop.
That's amazing in itself. Most writers take sometimes months and even years to get their project finished. Tell me about the themes of your book. Is there any underlying theme that you'd like to pass along?
Well, what I'd like everyone truly, you know, it's really interesting, and I just wanted to share a text that I received from my cousin when I was really at the lowest of my low. You know, I really was knocked to my knees, you know, with my emotional trauma. And I received a text from a cousin of mine, and he said, "May peace find you and wrap you like a warm blanket." And I was so struck by that quote because it was the first time that I thought, wow, somebody really feels like I feel, like somebody really understands how bad I feel. And that was so meaningful to me because then I wanted to reach out and share with everyone else once I started feeling better that, you know, you really can feel better and that you really can, you know, reclaim your self-worth and your self-love. So my message to everyone would be that the divine God is really everywhere and in all things. You know, we simply need to open our hearts and minds to the magnificence around us. And we are divine beings. And so we're open to receiving divine communication in many different ways. The ways we're open to is most likely the way God will reach out. He reached out to me through the animals. He can reach out to others in whatever ways they're open to. So just to understand how magnificent we really are and how worthy we really are.
Well, that's reaffirming. Are there other books in the marketplace that deal with a subject similar to yours, or yours must be unique? I haven't seen many like this.
I think my book is very unique in the sense that, I mean, there's many spiritual books, absolutely, that I talk about a number of wonderful topics. I think mine is unique in two ways. One, I'm just telling my personal story so people can actually, you know, read and learn through me not trying to explain different topics, but me just telling you what happened to me. But also, second, I believe that animal totems, the idea of the connection to the natural world and the animals, really bringing that into our modern consciousness, I think is one area of spirituality that really has yet to be fully rediscovered. So I believe my book is very unique in that it's told through visits from real animals and the messages that they have for us.
As an educator, how would you describe the difference or the connection between ego and spirit?
Well, I'm so glad you asked that, because that was such a great lesson for me through this process. And the way I would just explain it in a very simple way is the ego is your human self. The ego is your personality. I am Patricia. That is my ego. That is my human shell that I've created around myself. My spirit is my spiritual essence, is my spiritual being, and that is completely separate. And once I realized that I am not Patricia in the sense of the personality I've created, but that I am this far grander spiritual being, I was able to reclaim my self-worth and my self-love in a way that I could never do before.
And how long has this concept of animal totems been around?
Since ancient times. I'm not telling anyone anything that, you know, people have not known for centuries. I mean, you can go back to the Druids of ancient Egypt, Native Americans in our country, many different cultures and civilizations since, like I said, ancient times have looked to the animals for inspiration and guidance, understood that connection that we have with them.
Tell me how you would introduce this to someone, this book.
Well, I'd say it's a must-read.
Absolutely.
And then after that, I would tell them that it is my true emotional and spiritual journey, as told through the visits of the animals and the messages that they gave to me.
And this is a contemporary version of your story in your life, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
Any challenging parts about writing this and putting it together?
Actually, no, because like I said, you know, it's that's how I know it's divinely written, guided and written, because it really just came flowed right through me. I literally couldn't stop typing. Once I had the two experiences, you know, when I was told what to write in the book, like I said, I couldn't stop writing. It wasn't difficult at all.
Fabulous. The book title again is God is in the Little Things, Messages from the Animals. Our author, Patricia Brooks, telling her personal story. Thanks, Patricia, for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Jay.
Where can we get copies of this book?
Everyone can visit my website, godisinthelittlethings.com, and then there's links to order from any of the major retailers, or they can go directly to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Balboa Press, or their preferred online retailer. But again, my website is godisinthelittlethings.com, and there's lots more information about the book there, too.
Thank you, Patricia. Is there another book in your future?
Absolutely. My second book, and again, I've been told that I'm to write this, is called God is in the Little Things, Messages from the Angels. I'm currently working on that.
Excellent. When it's finished, we hope we get a chance to visit about that as well.
Thank you.
For Steve Jorgensen, Indie Book Publishing, and Balboa Press, this is J. Douglas Barker.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Hi, everybody. This is Pete Dix of Beatles and Beyond. Why don't we all come together and hear some of the tracks off the latest Beatles release on this radio station? Yes, why don't you look up the schedules on this radio station and join me and Beatles listeners everywhere to hear the latest releases from the Beatles on Beatles and Beyond with Pete Dix.
Connect with Juliana and connect with what lies beneath. Friday afternoons at 4 or 3 Central on TogiNet.com. Juliana is a marriage, family, and child therapist who wants people to connect. Connect with what lies beneath, those truths and answers. And through her counseling practice, she has helped others find their personal power and fulfill their dreams. And she wants to do the same for you here on Connect with Juliana. Through intimate discussions, intriguing subject matters, and the expertise of her guests. For more on the show and Juliana, check out her webpage. Connect with Juliana in media.com. Juliana will cover it all. Nothing is off limits. She wants to know what matters to you. Make the connection. Tune into TogiNet to connect with Juliana to find out the facts that could be hidden beneath the surface. Connect with Juliana on TogiNet to make a quality connection in your life. Friday afternoons at 4, 3 Central on TogiNet.com. Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
Greetings from Steve Jorgensen and Indie Book Publishing. This is J. Douglas Barker. Today we are here to discuss a Balboa Press release titled, All With a Little Help from Our Angels. The main title, Wings Up. Our author, Michelle A.R. Heidick. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, Jay. How are you?
Doing well. Tell me about your book. I looked through it, and the artwork is just charming. Tell me about the story behind writing this.
Wings Up was a title. The title itself came to me because women worry. It's what we do. And once we start worrying, we have a tendency to not be able to turn off our brains once we get started. So,
I must have a little bit of that. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, women have perfected it, Jay. So it was 4 o'clock one morning, 4 a.m., and I needed to get up for 6, and I couldn't turn off my brain, my thoughts. And I whispered a little prayer to my angels, and I said, angels, please help me. I can't turn off my brain. I need to fall asleep. I have a lot to do, a very full day. And wings up, no more thoughts, and just let me fall asleep. And it worked. And I fell asleep, and I used it whenever I needed to. And ironically, a few months later, my daughter at the time was 4, Emma, and she started experiencing nightmares. So I kind of crawled into her bunk bed with her one night and said, Em, this is what Mommy's doing. Mommy's saying this little prayer to her angels and telling her angels to help her. And I think that if you do it too, it'll work for you. So what we're going to do is we're going to say a little prayer, and we're going to tell our angels to put our wings up all around you. They're going to surround us in your bed, and only good thoughts are going to come in, puppies and kittens and butterflies, and all those bad thoughts and horrible nightmares are going to stay away, and you're going to be able to fall asleep. And it worked. So I've always wanted to write, Jay, my whole entire life. I've known I've wanted to do this since I was, like, in second grade. And the idea just wouldn't go away, and I thought, you know, I kind of have something here. So I kind of took myself to the beach, which is, you know, an ideal place to kind of be quiet and alone with your thoughts. And I wrote the narrative out in about 20 minutes. And I said, you know, I'm really going to do something with this. I've wanted to write since I was in second grade. I have to do it. And I want to do it. I want to get the message out. It helped me as a 47-year-old woman. It helped my daughter. And, you know, I want to do this. And then kind of life took over. Like it always does, and months went by and months went by, and push came to shove. I never did it. So I firmly believe that an impatient angel said enough already, and Connecticut had a big, huge ice storm, and my angel nudged me over a little bit. I fell over and shattered my ankle, and then I had 4 months to do it. And I researched self-publishing, and I found Balboa, and the rest is kind of history.
And you're not going to say that the angel tripped you, are you?
I said nudged over, not
tripped. Just nudged. Oh.
And in a kind and gentle way. Girl, you're not hearing us. You're supposed to do this, and now you're going to because you can't do anything else. So.
Now, the artwork goes along with the narrative. Did you have anything to do with the artwork?
I was completely blessed by the artwork that Balboa did and the people that they put me with. They did an absolutely amazing job. They were fabulous at seeing my vision and helping it all come together. Once they gave me the sketches and the drafts, I was able to see in my own head how I wanted to make it more detailed. But the light and the radiance and the beauty that they bring to those pictures is mesmerizing. I'm completely blessed by the work that
it is beautiful. Very, very nicely done. It certainly supports the narrative. This book appeals to children for sure. Anybody else that you're trying to target? Besides your angels,
well,
of course.
Jay, I actually believe that it can appeal to a lot of people. Like I said, it really did come about for me as a 47-year-old woman as a real prayer. You know, I believe our angels are around us. I think we all need to know that we're surrounded and loved and protected, and I think we need to know that we can call on something higher and bigger than us to, you know, give us that need for safety and protection and comfort that we need. So it appeals to all audiences. I have teenage girls in my neighborhood that are passing the story around to their friends. So it's kind of a universal concept.
And
I think it should be.
What's the length of the book, totally? How many pages?
It's 32 pages, it is a little long for the younger ones, but I've done some readings and everything around here locally, and, you know, I just kind of edit for their purposes, and the concept Wings Up can be, you know, something that works for the little ones and works for the teenagers and, like I said, works for 47-year-old women with brains they can't turn off.
Absolutely. Now, what themes of the book do you believe are relevant that will work today? How does this book address those?
Well, like I said, I believe that we are living in a very, very fast-paced world. I always talk with my friends about the fact that how our life is different from our parents. I mean, I think our parents had it very hard, but I think in today's day and age, what is different is that we have an onslaught of information, and so people are constantly overwhelmed. And adults and even children alike, it's coming at us at great speeds. So I think Wings Up, just a concept of sitting and quieting and being with yourself and enjoying some solitude and all of that has to encompass, I think it that's a theme that it touches on. I think in today's day and age, with the things that happened right here in Sandy Hook, Connecticut, our children need to know that they are protected. And they are. There is a bigger force, a bigger, you know, there's more love out there, and that they can be protected and surrounded. And there is a way to, even with them, control the thoughts, control the things that are coming at them, and to calm themselves. I think life is getting really, really busy.
It definitely is. In your book, you have this conversation with Emma. All your angels are encircling you with their wings up. They're forever a covering all around you with their wings, even our angel friend in your top bunk. They have enfolded you in God's love. Very comforting idea for a child.
Thank you. Thank you.
You also talked about a tent. How high is the tent? Tell me about that story.
Well, I wanted Emma to believe, Emma kind of took that concept and ran with it, a child's mind. For me, it was the wings, and she was in the middle, and, you know, only good thoughts, butterflies and candy and kittens and ice creams and things like that. She was the one who kind of saw in her mind, Mom, it's like a tent all around me, and, you know, the tent shields and protects. So her little imagination definitely added to my story.
What one thing would you like readers to take away from this work?
Actually, there's a couple things. Like I said, I want everybody to know that there is, you know, a higher power, something else to look to in those times. I definitely want children to know that they are protected and there's comfort there for them. I want women to know that it's a prayer that they can say to slow themselves down and connect. And I definitely want people to know that if I can do this, they can. I've wanted to write, Jay, since I was literally in second grade. I had a voice in my head when I read a story to my second grade class say to me, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. And, you know, I turned it off when life happened, when I got in, you know, high school, and a guidance counselor said, how are you going to make money doing this? And, you know, I shut down my dream for a lot of years, and I want people to know that they can do it. They just have to push forward, and they have to believe. And we all have fear. I had fear. I still have fear. And just push on anyway, because the world needs what you have to offer, the gifts that you have to give.
Well, positive reinforcement is definitely needed in today's world. Is this the first book you've written?
It is the first book I've written, but I have about 10 more in my head, all with the angel wing theme. Like, I have Wings Together to teach people, children especially, to pray. Wings Out to teach them to follow their dreams. Wings Down, because when you put your wings down, it forms a little heart if you put your hands together, and that it's all about love, no fighting with your friends and mom and dad and brothers and sisters. So I have a lot more to do, I hope, and share.
Wonderful. How would you introduce this to someone, this book?
I tell people that basically I told my daughter that if she said wings up and called on her angels, she would always be surrounded and protected.
Are there any other books in the marketplace? There are a lot of children's books. Anything else that's similar to this, or is this one unique?
I believe it's both different and similar. There's a lot of stories out there that touch on topics like the kissing hand and things like that. They're concepts. And I think that's what Wings Up is it's a concept, but I like the fact that it connects to the angels and has a spiritual message for the children. So I think that's what makes it a little bit unique.
Has there been any positive reaction to your book? You've entered this in a couple of contests, I think.
I did. I entered it in a contest for a spiritual category, and I won second place.
Well, congratulations.
So I was quite excited about that.
Congratulations. Any challenging parts about writing this book other than getting started?
I'm more of a writer, so the illustrations were a little bit hard for me because I didn't necessarily see the pictures in my head. So again, that's why I said I was very blessed by the illustration work that and the illustrators at Balboa. They saw that vision for me, and then once they put it in front of me, I was able to expand on it. So I found the illustrations a little challenging, but it doesn't at all show in the pictures. But I mean, they did an amazing job. The pictures are mesmerizing.
And what would you like the readers to know about your book? You've got four or five things, I'm sure, in your mind that you'd like them to take away from this.
Again, I want people to know that they're loved and surrounded and protected. There's something bigger than us, and most definitely, if I can do it, they can do it too.
Well, congratulations. The book title again is All With a Little Help from Our Angels. The main title, Wings Up. Our author, Michelle A.R. Heideck. Michelle, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
How do we get copies of this book?
You can get it at my self-publisher, which is Balboa Press. You can get it at Barnes & Noble online. You can get it at Amazon, and it is available in Kindle version. And I also will inscribe and autograph any copies for anybody at my website, www.marheideck.com, and that's my initials, marheideck.com.
And how is Heideck spelled?
H-Y-D-E-C-K.
Thank you, Michelle. Enjoyed visiting with you. Best of luck with this book.
Thank you very much, Jay. It was nice talking to you, too. Thank you for your time.
Pleasure. For Indie Book Publishing and Balboa Press, this is Jay Douglas Barker.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages. Join us for Self-Aid Success Stories with Helen Wu, Wednesday nights at 10, 9 central on toginet.com. Helen Wu was born and raised in San Francisco's Chinatown, and after a very difficult upbringing, fighting depression, abuse, and addictions, she finally finds herself genuinely happy inside and out. Helen believes in taking our positive thinking and doing something positive to achieve a positive outcome. She's here to make a positive difference in your life, to be your game changer, your aha moment mentor. She's ready to help both men and women get into a better place. Helen Wu is also the author of Self-Aid Success Stories, 25 Success Stories from Successful Entrepreneurs. Inspired by Ellen DeGeneres, Helen wants the world to know that just because we find ourselves in a difficult situation doesn't mean we have to stay there. We can aid ourselves to a better life. So join us for Self-Aid Success Stories with Helen Wu, Wednesday nights at 10, 9 Central on TogiNet.com.
Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, He Goes Before Us, Stories from the Front Lines, and the author is Ginger Sanders, and Ginger joins us now on Indie Book Publishing, this interview brought to you by Crossbooks. Hello, Ginger.
Hello, Steve. How are you doing this morning?
Great to have you with us. What a great book. Stories, 31 stories, inspirational stories, healing stories. And we're going to learn more about you being a chaplain coordinator with the Billy Graham Rapid Response Team. These stories come from your experiences. And he goes before us, as you say, from the front lines. Are these 31 faith-building God stories from the real experiences as a chaplain with the Billy Graham Rapid Response Team? And these are real-life stories. When you've been out there in the field, and as you put it, you have seen God show up, and that God is alive and working in the lives of people today, especially among these incredible, different, life-changing experiences, these tragedies often. Well, first of all, before we get into some of these stories, the details, Ginger, tell us about yourself and how you got involved in this.
Well, my husband and I retired, and God allowed us to retire at a fairly young age of 57. And back in 2008, I was online doing a devotion with the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association and saw when that website popped up that they were calling for chaplains that had previous law enforcement or EMT or first responder background. And my husband and I both had some law enforcement background, and my husband retired after 32 and a half years in law enforcement. So we applied thinking we'd only go out for 1 or 2 weeks a year, applied and accepted that calling. They sent us out, and we were trained with CISM classes, which is critical incident and stress management classes, several of whom what we had had before previously in our background. But just to be refreshed and know what to do, and the reason the first responders is important and play the part as a chaplain is you know when to step up and be available for first responders or families that are hurting or in need, but you also know when to step aside and stay out of the way. So when we were called forth and became chaplains with the Billy Graham team, we went to floods and tornadoes and hurricanes, and seemed like the weather situation just got busier and busier as far as us being called out. And then we started having some shootings and coal miners, disasters, and so the Billy Graham chaplains started going out even more. Franklin Graham started this with a 9/11 incident. He saw the need when he was in New York of the actual pastors and the chaplains in that area. They were hurting as much as their community, and he felt the need to get people trained and to get a group on the ground to go in and just help love on these people in the name of Jesus.
So you never know where you're going to go. It's kind of at a moment's notice, it sounds like.
We never know when we're going to go. Usually we know or we watch the Weather Channel and we see where there's something, a storm coming up, such as just a few days ago. We were looking at Karen and watching that storm, or the fires in Colorado or California or in Mexico. But we need to be ready to roll most of the time within 20 minutes. We have our little bags packed and our little bed rolls rolled up in a certain place in our home. And we can go out and we could be on the road within 30 minutes call.
The title again, He Goes Before Us, Stories from the Front Lines, 31 Faith-Building God Stories from these real experiences that Ginger and her husband have experienced as response team chaplains. Well, let's get into a few of them. And of course, we all still tremble when we hear the name Sandy Hook Elementary. You were there following it, and tell us about this story that you included in your book about Sandy Hook.
Well, first of all, nothing surprises God. God is not surprised by any storms in our lives, and the Billy Graham Record Response Chaplains have been placed. We were actually in Toms River, New Jersey after Hurricane Sandy, and we had another team of chaplains over on Long Island, New York. And we were busy helping with the Samaritan's Purse teams that were there doing disaster relief and cleanup after that storm. And one afternoon, we received a phone call. That phone call came, and they said, we need you to deploy right now to Connecticut. And we had not seen the news, did not know what was going on. And they said, we need you to get there as soon as you can. There has been a mass shooting at the elementary school. We just completely changed direction and our focus and started praying. And one of our biggest foundations is our prayer warriors. So we put out a call to our prayer warriors, and all across the nation and literally around the world, people started praying because they were hearing the news and they knew that the Billy Graham chaplains were going. But one of the stories in the book is after we had been out at the memorial site and been to funerals that day, we were tired and it was cold and rainy. But God had a plan for us that night because after being in law enforcement, we looked for a warm cup of coffee and a donut. And at a bakery, we met some young people that their lives will be changed forever because God loved them enough to have us go in and get a cup of coffee. And we were able to just share some love with them, and they were able to talk to us. But that story is in the book, He Goes Before Us. And it just tells how God can use the love and the encouragement and hope that only He can to turn that tragic incident into one of hope and eternal life with that group of young people. And never will forget that group because one by one they came out the door and wanted to talk to the chaplains. We said, we'll be outside. And one by one they just came out and were just broken because that someone had come in there and just cared enough to stop and speak to them. And just sweet memories of that day.
How were you involved following the Aurora Theater shooting there in Aurora, Colorado?
Well, once again, we had been to Fort Collins, Colorado for the fires, and we were there getting ready to close that camp, and we had another team of chaplains in Colorado Springs. So there again, God had chaplains on both sides of the little town of Aurora. When that shooting occurred, we got a phone call about 6 a.m. that morning, and they said, you're only about 70 miles from Aurora, and there's been a mass shooting at a theater, and they told us the name of the high school, it was Gateway High School, that we needed to go to. And the police had already opened the door for the Billy Graham chaplains to come in and be with those families and friends that were all meeting at high school. The families did not know if their loved ones were there at the shooting at the theater or if they had been taken to the hospital or even if they had gone to the movie that night. But we go into that high school and the police escorted us around away from the media that was already set up. And we were there and spent the day with those families and friends that were coming in looking for their loved ones. And as the day went on, different families would get a phone call that they had a loved one at a hospital, and it came down to just a few families then left. And the police officer, I never will forget, he came in and he was the one that had been giving the families the updates. And I looked at him and he walked over to us and he had tears in his eyes. And I said, are you holding up okay? And he said, well, I just think of my own children. They wanted to go to the theater last night. And he said, for whatever reason, I did not allow them to go. And he said, now I'm coming in. And I know what I'm going to have to tell these families in just a couple of hours, that their loved ones are not alive anymore. And he was broken, and I asked him, I said, can we just go outside and have a word of prayer? And he said, I need that. I would really appreciate it. And we go outside the school door, and the man who, quote unquote, had been in operation mode was now humbled by prayer and the need for God's love. So it's only through God that we can do this, through the prayers of our prayer warriors reaching down to these families. But we were at the memorial sites, and people from all over came and drove hours just to come and pray and be there with those families and friends that came in. And we still have people from Aurora call us personally. Back in July, we had one come and stay at our house for a few days because it was coming up on the anniversary. It's still hard for those people, and yes, it's hard for us, and oftentimes we just sit and cry alongside them or just hold hands. Don't have to say a word, just to be there for each other. But we know it's Jesus's love.
Well, we all need each other in terrible times like that. We all need God in our lives. It's terrible for those who don't reach out to Him. Have you had experiences where people have really changed because of these tragic experiences? I know you've had some incredible life-changing experiences because you saved a man on the verge of suicide.
Well, that was unbelievable. He called to tell his mother goodbye, and he was going to commit suicide, and we just happened to pray, and when we prayed, God used my southern accent as a wake-up call for this man. He actually thought his mother had changed her tone or her voice, and he listened intently. And as God would have it, that young man called me back the next day and said, "Thank you so much for being there for my mother." And he wasn't even thanking me for himself, but he had already changed his focus from himself to his family. And that man is doing great now, and he is involved in a church, and I do know his family, and we stay in contact. And it's such a blessing to know that God can just use us as instruments to change people's focus sometimes from themselves to others, which is what knowing God is all about.
Often people who either experience these terrible tragedies or obviously watch them from afar, they wonder and they ask the question, why do terrible things happen? Why does God allow this to happen? What's your answer to that kind of question?
Well, as I said before, nothing takes God by surprise, but we do live in a fallen world. We know that Satan is alive and well, and he would like nothing else other than to tear down any hope that we have. And Jesus is the only hope. And God doesn't cause everything to happen, but he allows it to happen because Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them who are called according to his purpose." Even in the midst of the storms and the heartache and the brokenness of floods or tornadoes or hurricanes, God can use those things to get people to either remember things that had happened in their lives in the past, and it just helps them to realize that there is a God, and it turns and changes their focus on what is bad to what can be good. And oftentimes we have seen people whose lives are totally changed, and it's not because of the storm or the flood that they're in right now, but it's what's happened behind them that they were having a hard time getting over. They may have called the chaplains in for the physical storm that's going on, but it's actually the emotional storm that they're going through. And we are called in for the physical need, but it's the emotional need that they actually have need of getting through. And that's where we come into play more than 90% of the time.
We've been listening to Ginger Sanders. She's the author of her book, He Goes Before Us, Stories from the Front Lines, 31 faith-building God stories from real experiences from their incredible involvement with the Billy Graham Rapid Response Team. They are chaplains and are there, as you put it so well, Ginger, just to love on these people and to hold their hands and to pray with them and to just be there. I'm sure being a listening ear probably is more than anything, right?
That is so true. Just being there for the people. And And Steve, I would like to say that there are several books and stories out there that tell the death or near-death experience, and not to discredit those, because I do believe in the afterlife, and I do believe that God does receive people. But this book shows you do not have to die to see God working. It tells the stories of things that happen that only God could orchestrate in the lives. And it's a book to give hope and encouragement to those who are hurting and in need. And sometimes we don't have to have a pain or a storm that's going on, but we just need to remember that God is in control and that He is alive and well.
Tell us how to get your book, Ginger. He Goes Before Us.
You can go online, CrossBooks. The publisher has it available online, Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble. You could just Google the name, He Goes Before Us by Ginger Sanders. Also, my website, gingersanders.com, is out there, and it is available to you. I do speak, and I do have another book out that's a children's book called Ground Eyes. That just all of those are available, and we would love to just share the stories that God has given me to just put out for Him, because this is a book about Him and not about us.
Well, thank you so much for being with us on Indie Book Publishing.
Thank you, Steve. It's been a pleasure, and I hope people enjoy the book and are encouraged and just know who God is.
And this interview has been brought to everyone by CrossBooks.
You've been listening to Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen. Join us again next week at noon Eastern as Steve interviews another great author.